Hello, you're listening to a Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So, Chris, how was the last couple weeks? 3 weeks, technically, I guess.
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Thanks for asking. You don't normally ask that. That's really nice. It means a lot to me.
Good.
No, we had, like, a few big things happened since the last discussional podcast, and it's one of those ones where it's like, man, we have to do a preview, but I really want to talk about this, or we have to do this, so we can't really do that. But, yeah, we had E3 happen.
Yep.
That
definitely happened.
That was interesting. I made the argument that, and we're not going to get political or anything, even though technically the E3 itself coverage got very political. I think this is a really good point. That is a good sign to all these companies. It's time to just do your own streams. They were talking about this, I think, back when Nintendo first started breaking off from E3, which is like, what, like back in 2015 or something like that? They broke away from her. I mean, they still had their things there, but they were doing their own directs, their own announcements, separate in their own streams on YouTube. And at that time, a lot of people were debating, like, I think all the companies do this. And then suddenly Sony did it. One time, and then it's like, okay, now why don't everybody do this? And I think now, especially after, you know, the pandemic happened last year, which pretty much almost killed the entire E3 conference itself, and now they come back this year, and it's like, I think they had like a restructuring at some point, because I think somebody was bad in the ownership or something like that, and they of course they had the whole pandemic hurting their budget, I guess. And then this year, coming back, it's like, whoever is controlling this right now, you need to stop. Because, like I said, one way or the other, it doesn't need to be political. And you guys are making it extremely political, and you're alienating a large audience. I mean, it was the first time ever I was like, oh, Twitch chat is really awesome. Because they're all like snooze emotes over and over again. And it's like, this is bad. This is supposed to be games. And I'm like, I said... You didn't really see it unless you were trying to, like, watch the full coverage, which is, you know, thankful. I mean, you could just check out the conferences and you're good. But everything outside of that was like, are you guys serious? Is this what you guys, is important to you guys?
It is. That's what they are serious about.
But it's like, yeah, this is a good time to really just focus on just go to the YouTube channels and watch the videos. This is the trailers. That's all you really need to do, because the rest of it was just... And I think a lot of it had to do with, I think, honestly, Capcom was like the perfect example of it. Just, they don't have anything. I think they just honestly don't have anything. So you had a lot of companies that were on there, and I think they had prepaid for it, and they didn't have anything to show. So what'd they do? They just had conferences about random crap that had nothing to do with games. So it's like, okay, well, there you go. Just don't have it. Or just show us trailers of what you're already releasing, which a lot of companies like Capcom did, so... Yeah, it was rough. Besides Nintendo, the end of the Summer Games, which wasn't a part of E3, Jeff Keighley, his thing, they had Elden Ring at the end of it, which, honestly, I don't know that I'm going to go out and grab it immediately, but it looks good. Like, it actually looks good. But I don't know if that company, FromSoft, whatever, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull off an open world. And that's really the big question. Can they pull that off? Can they... Open worlds are obviously difficult to make. There are a lot of bugs involved with them.
Well, like I was pointing out to you when you had mentioned it before, it's you're talking about a big name, and not the company.
Several big names.
They're not going to put a B-tier company on a name like George R. R. Martin. They're just not going to. So it's going to be a lot of money dumped into that game.
That's the hope. There's a lot of money dumped into it. I mean, because FromSoft is a good company, but at the same time, it's not. Yeah, it's not Rockstar. It's not, you know, a big huge name. It's. I would say it's a double A, like not a triple A, but probably a double A studio.
Right. But, and this is probably their attempt to get into AAA status.
Yeah, that's true. They all have to start somewhere. I mean, the AAA, I mean, Rockstar and stuff didn't start making GTA. All these companies did not start making the big game. Naughty Dog did not start off making Last of Us and
now,
Uncharted.
That's not saying that they're not going to make mistakes. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form. But I just don't see them putting out a B-tier game off of George R. R. Martin. That would just be stupid. They'd be killing themselves. They'd go into obscurity from that.
Yeah, that would be a big big no to mess up his branding. There's already plenty that are backing his books and stuff. So yeah, Nintendo was good though. Nintendo was still good. I mean, they didn't have like big shockers. I mean, they did technically have Breath of the Wild 2. They pushed the launch date to 2022, which, again, go back to the quote, a delayed game's better than a broken game. So, yeah. But it looked interesting. It had them, like, going through stuff, had them flying, or at least falling. Time stuff. Had some time manipulation stuff.
Yeah, it looks like the new area is going to be above in the sky, is basically what it was.
And so, do you think it's going to be one of those things where it's an attachment to the original world? Or do you think they're going to mess with the original world at all?
I'm assuming so. Some kind of a revamp of the original world and then toss stuff up in the sky. Everybody's going nuts and saying that that's the reason why they're pushing so hard to re-release Skyward Sword, because all the upper area is going to be tied into that, is what everybody's speculating right now.
That makes sense. It was funny because they were talking about how they don't want to release the name of the game because it would spoil things. And it's like, well, you're going to have to eventually, because how do you pre-order it? So I guess they want to limit how much time, I guess, people have to debate what the title means, which I guess I understand that. It's probably going to have time. It's going to have time in the title, I bet. Because he's controlling time in the actual trailer. He's controlling time.
Right.
So I could totally see
I think
it
it's going
to
be. I think it's going to be fascinating. I know that they do a lot of good stuff with Breath of the Wild, so I can't wait to see what they do with it, and I'm highly excited about that. But I don't see my thing is when I went into this E3, I was hoping for a lot more stuff to kind of chew on. And overall, I mean, I didn't even know until you had mentioned it that the Game Fest was the Sony release. And I was like, wow, if that's the case, then yeah, I guess Xbox kind of won. But Nintendo was the one that really was the one that I had a lot of fun with when it comes down to it. This E3 was really brutal all around.
And I think it's lost. This E3 was the after effects of the pandemic. I honestly think so. Because everything that was already in works back before in the E3 last year, at least the trailers and stuff that was released during that time, was like the tail end, and they already had everything pretty much to the point where they can make, you know, the master discs. Whereas this time, it's literally, this is a sign of what happens after a year of them not working on anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's like an after effect that really happened. That's like I said, that's why I think a lot of these companies had a slot paid for and they didn't have anything to show. But yeah, I agree with you. I think what I told you was like, in a gamer standpoint, Xbox was probably the winner because they had so much stuff in there. They had a huge slew of stuff. They didn't take any time, you know, twiddling their thumbs in their conference. They literally hit game. And then you have Bethesda now on board. You now have Bethesda on board with them. And they're going, okay, here's entire Bethesda's catalog. You can download them now. It's like they were the biggest of, like, here's a tons of game. Now, granted, again, two aspects to that. For me personally, games I don't care about personally that I don't play. But I can still acknowledge the fact that there are games that people are excited for. But also, too, it's also a lot of returning games yeah, that we've already played before, now available on Xbox because of the buyout for Bethesda. I think Starfield is their big title for Bethesda. I think that's the title.
Yeah.
So that's, of course, a big exciting thing for a lot of people. Again, not personally for me. But for a conference for things that I am excited for, probably Nintendo. Like, right. Even Square Enix was like, ugh. I mean, you you had a lot of titles like the Origin game and
I didn't even know
what's the face's name. Games game. Those both looked really rough and really kind of seemed like they're in early development.
The Origin one was one that was like, as it was playing, my ears tweaking a little bit more and more and more. I'm like, is this a remake of of Final Fantasy 1?
Chaos?
We got Garland?
What about Chaos, Chris? Is Chaos there? Is he looking for Chaos? He's going to kill Chaos. You know that, right? He's going to kill Chaos. He's after Chaos.
And then Andrew had pointed out that it was a Dark Souls kind of reimagining of it in a Dark Souls vibe. And I was like, well, I guess that would make sense. Are they going
super
to be...
punishing.
Is it
going
to be centered around that tower? Is that what they're planning on doing? Because then that would really kind of ruin, but I guess there's you don't really have to remake the entire game if you do that, so yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, the sad thing is, and I know that the company themselves actually takes feedback very seriously, because I think they worked on Neo and they did a lot of work to fix that. But it's like, you probably should let the demo get a little bit more polished than that before you released it. Because that demo I watched, Maximilian did play it, and it's like, it's real rough. Like, the AI are just standing around, and it seems like it's built around the idea of having the AI with you. And it didn't look that great, which I don't care much about graphics. I know there's a lot of the plays of like, oh, it looks like a PS2 game. It's like, you guys never played a PS2 game, that's what you're saying.
Which one? The
Origins. Well, they made a demo for it. So it just looked really rough, and it needs a lot of polish.
The only one that was Square Enix was the Babylon Fall or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that I think Platinum is working on. That one looked not as good as usually Platinum looks, honestly.
Yeah, that one was kind of like, but it might just be early.
They've been showing that. Or for a long time.
Oh, really?
It's been shown for a long... I don't know if they have a release date on it yet, but if they do, it's been worked on for a long time. I don't know if it's because it doesn't have budget or... I don't know. But no, I think the only thing that was exciting in the presentation for Square Enix was the remakes, pixel remastering of 1 through 6. But then again, it's like... But it doesn't look as good. Like, they should have done, like, PSP releases when they did the first and second, when they did that, with, like, upgraded sprites. That would have been a nice remake, because I just want 6 redone. Come on, I just want 6 done in a Final Fantasy 1 and 2 PSP version.
Well, that...
But it looks like they're downgrading a lot of the art style of it.
The disappointing thing on that, and I kind of was hoping, Steam and mobile. I was kind of hoping the Direct would save that one and say, hey, by the way, this is actually coming to us too, and that would have probably made Nintendo, for me, that would have put the Nintendo Direct above the Xbox.
That's unfortunate. You know why it's on Steam and mobile. It's because they're going to episode by episode it. They're going to release the first one, then the second one, the third one, the fourth one, sixth. They can't really technically do that on a... Well, they can just release a eShop version of each one of them, but I don't think they think that there's going to be enough value from that. Because if they release Final Fantasy 1 on Switch, on the eShop, how much is it going to cost? And it's going to ooh people away. Whereas on Steam and mobile, it's a little more easier to get that kind of money from people just for pixel remastering of the originals.
Yeah. The cool thing about tossing it on the Switch is literally then every Final Fantasy except for the newest ones, quote unquote, would be on the Switch.
Pretty much everything past 12. None of the 13s are on there.
Right.
15's not on there except for that chibi version. Which I thought about playing the chibi version, because I didn't really care much for the original version. Just I didn't like the combat and how it felt. But I would love to experience the story.
I really do. I was planning on rating your games at some point on that, because I really would like to do that one. You do have it, right? 15?
Yeah. The super duper must download 500 gigs worth of extras every time you... Even though it's the Super Kings version that's supposed to have all the DLC... the disc is literally the original one, and you still have to download everything. It just allows for everything to be downloaded. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the point? I have to sit here and download, you know, 300 gigs worth of stuff. It was frustrating. And then when I got in there, I was like I said, it just didn't feel good. I have to force myself through it. Because I did like the story itself seemed interesting.
Yeah, I need those are the only two technically that I have not. No, I didn't do 9 either. 9, and then the two Lost Final Fantasies. I still need to play those. I've started them a few times, but
Lost Final Fantasies?
Yeah, the Final Fantasy 2, Final Fantasy 3.
Oh, the skipped
one. Is there 4?
Is 2, 2, 3, and 5 would have been the ones that never came over here originally.
Those are the ones I need to play those. And those are hard only because they're old games. And that's the only reason they're hard to play.
Yeah, 2 was like the one where you had to like get damaged to get stronger or something like that. It was weird.
It was so weird. But yeah, the other two, I've started 13 a few times. I got through, I think, half of 13, and then it got sidetracked on something. I have not even started 15, and 15. And that one is one that I do really want to play, but I want to finish up 13 first. I really do.
I have the remake 3rd. I don't remember what it was on. I think it was on the PSP. There was a remaked one where they made it all like, you know, pixeled characters that walk around in a dungeon. They like remastered all the dungeons and everything, and I think they helped the story a little bit because they didn't technically have great stories back then. I mean, technically Final Fantasy 1 was chaos. It was literally what it was.
Is that is Final Fantasy 13's all on your PS3, right?
Yes.
So I might just steal your PS3 and just
I'm like one of the few people that likes 13.
Yeah, you got all three or the two expansions too, right?
Mhm. 13-2 and Lightning Returns was the 3rd one.
Yeah, I want to get there though. I want to do all those too. I'm weird about the side. I love the sides. So
it's funny. It's like each of those versions had like something interesting they put into. Like the second one was a lot about like the pets and stuff, and it was following the sister and this random, you know, mysterious boy. And then the 3rd one was really kind of more focused back on Lightning herself and the extra abilities that she has. So they each had like interesting takes. And the original one's world was really fascinating, so I did enjoy them.
I was enjoying the story. I just got sidetracked on it. I was having a lot of fun with the game.
Yeah. The other cool thing on the Switch, the Nintendo one that they announced was the Legend of Mana remaster, which looked really good.
Yeah, I got a that is definitely going to be on my to-do list. I've also got, there's a few more Square Enix games that I'm planning on getting. They had this big old sale, and I almost want to shoot myself in the foot because of the fact that I didn't go ahead and buy Crystal Chronicles, but my card is full, honestly. It's driving me nuts.
Crystal Chronicles. I was thinking of the one that was on Wii. The Crystal Chronicles Wii one was weird.
No, this was GameCube, and you didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know the little lantern thing or something like that.
Yeah.
The other thing on Nintendo was was Metal Slug Tactics on the... I know Advance Wars. No, the Metal Slug Tactics, I think, was on Square Enix. Or I forget which Metal... One of them had Metal Slug Tactics. That looked cool. I loved Metal Slug back in the day. No, it was announced way before the Direct happened, because Direct was the last thing that happened, and they talked about it before. Advance Wars was on Nintendo Direct.
Advance Wars. That's what it was.
And that looks cool. I mean, I've never played the Advance Wars. I just heard people just talking up and down about it, so I've never... But I like tactics games, so it's like, if anything from this entire thing, we did get two really solid-looking tactics games, Metal Slug Tactics and the Advance Wars remake.
Oh, Danganronpa. And Phoenix Wright, those are more things that I really love. So
I keep buying Danganronpa but never playing it. But yeah, I might buy it on the Switch to see if I can play it there.
But yeah, those I really really want to play Danganronpa, and I was kind of holding out hope that it would pop up on the Switch, and to get that finally announced was huge for me.
Yeah, the new Phoenix Wright was interesting. I'm not sure if it's got the jump to CGI characters rather than the 2D flat stills.
I love Phoenix Wright. I just love the humor is really what it is on that one. It's such a goofy humor. Not necessarily the whodunit thing is kind of but I do love the humor. The humor is just absolutely they play off of tropes and character types and just goof off on a lot of that stuff, and they just have so much fun, and that's why I love it.
I was excited for this other one, Fatal Frame. I was excited that's going to Switch, but big but, I don't. And of course, the issue that I had with Fatal Frame when it was released on the Wii, as I was like, or the Wii U, as I was going to go buy it, then I found out that it was censored like crazy. And I'm like, every time I hear that something is censored, I just go, I don't really want to buy it anymore. It just puts a huge stain on it, and I don't want to go out. And I've heard it's a really good game. And then when I heard it was going to Switch, I'm like, okay, cool. The new Nintendo. They're going to do this properly this time, even though they didn't with the Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That one was still censored. But it was a reason for, and it was the fact that they were trying to give it to certain regions that wouldn't allow it. And then again, I was excited here, but then I realized it's going to be on PS4, PS5, Xbox, PC. And the PlayStation part is the issue, because if they're going to make it, you know, for the new generations of consoles, they're going to give... They're going to make one version, and it's going to be one that's going to be allowed on Sony, which is going to be censored. So the Switch one's probably going to be censored too. So, which is a bummer, but it is what it is. I've given up at this point. If anything's not only on Nintendo, it's probably censored. But it looks good. I really do want to play that game. It looks like a horror game that would be really fantastic to play through. So we'll see. Kakarot. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot's coming to Switch too. That's December 24th. I played that on the PS4. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It has its repetitiveness here and there, but it technically plays a story. What else did I have on here? Shin Megami Tensei. I don't know if I'll buy it. Maybe you might wait a while, because I keep buying those games and never playing them through them all the way. Metroid Dread was good. That looks cool. I'm not sure if I'll jump immediately into that one too, but it looks good. It looks like a classic Metroid.
Metroid is one that I've played those here and there, and I never get very far into them. I love them. I think they're fantastic games. And the environment seems to be kind of the story rather than the actual... Samus is a fantastic character, but... She's not really the story. It's the world itself that seems to be more the story, and it does great storytelling just by the environment itself.
Yeah, it's always been the gameplay for me, but it's one of those ones where I don't get into it until I get into it, and then I have to give it some time, and then when it'll eventually grab me, and then I'm like sucked into it, and I just keep playing it.
Yeah,
that's always been my experience with it. So I'm just curious what they're gonna do with the Prime, if they're gonna. They really need to get a good studio to help them with that, to make that really, really fantastic. And I think that's probably why they've been taking so long, is they're probably trying to find that one studio that would hopefully give it a proper modernization, not controlling the way that Prime did on the GameCube, because obviously that's old.
And one of the cool things about Metroid is its punishment system is good at teaching you to learn the mechanics. So... Yeah, you may lose or you may die from this thing, but you learn how to work around that thing. You're not so stuck on just repetitively doing the same thing over and over and over again until you beat this thing. You end up learning the mechanics every time you try it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was basically it. Other than that, blah, E3. Other than that, like, list of 20 things that we talked about, it was a blah E3. I don't know. I hope that a lot of these companies kind of kick back from the issues they've been going through and hopefully get back on their feet. But until then, I think I'm going to stick with the trailers for E3 and just forget about E3 as a whole. Moving on, other than video games, there's a couple of news bits that we have in here for today's episodes that will be game-related, but it'll be anime game-related, so don't worry about it. But our first one we have is... Actually, that's not the first one. Okay, this is the first one right here. But apparently the account for Nisioisin, who of course did the Monogatari series, has announced that the next book in the Monogatari series novel will be Shino Monogatari, or Death Story. It's going to ship in two volumes simultaneously on August 19th, and both novels will conclude the Monster Season part of the story. And, yeah, I guess the rest is kind of a spoiler, so I'll leave that out, even though I know what it is. But, yeah. Now Shaft needs to get to work on getting caught up. It's been a while since we've had an adaptation, and they're getting behind at this point. So hopefully Shaft can get done with, you know, that Magical Girl anime and stuff and this whole Magia record thing and get back to it. But then, of course, they have the movie coming up, too. I don't know. Shaft's busy. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a while. They have a Madoka Magica movie, and then they have, of course, Magia record coming back. So we'll see. That's exciting, though. Director Tatsuki, of course, we know for the original Kimono Friends and Kimono Kusa. He came out on his Twitter account and posted a picture of two characters. And pretty much that's about all. Just kind of a teaser with two characters. One looks like a really tired office worker, and one looks like a Demon Lord girl. So,
Lolly Demon Lord.
Maybe we'll have like a office worker isekai and his shenanigans with some... I'm making up a story here. He gets isekai'd, and in front of him is this Demon Lord girl, and she obviously knows that he's isekai'd, and as all isekai's should be super powerful, she employs him to conquer the world, and of course he's just a tired office worker, so he just kind of has to go with it.
That makes perfect sense, and his umbrella is very important in the story. You know that, right?
Yes, he keeps it with him in case it rains. Or maybe her superpower is to rain acid, and it protects him from it, so he can go around with her.
Maybe.
Yeah, there we go. There you go, Tatsuki. Use it. Print it. Give me a cut of it. But yeah, super exciting. Of course, you know, Tatsuki's work has been pretty fantastic. A lot of mystery in his world, and I'm excited for whatever he has coming up next, so... Cool stuff. Let's see. Blue Reflections, the official website has announced that they are canceling their plans to release the Blu-ray of Blue Reflections for various reasons. So all six Blu-ray disc pre-orders have been refunded, and it's been canceled. So, yeah, I that's pretty much a sign. I'm just speculating here. I have no proof. Probably the pre-orders weren't that good. If they cancel something like that, either the company they were working with like fell under and then they just are like, no, it's too late, or the pre-orders weren't that many to begin with. So they're like, yeah, it's not gonna be enough to print enough in order to make money, so let's just cancel it, which is unfortunate. But I'm sure we'll still have a Blu-ray release over here. It's just the Japanese one didn't happen. And they could just, I guess, back import that. That'll work.
Yeah.
I help you out, Japan. I'll give you some good news. We'll see. We'll see where that goes. We see here in... I just skipped that one, but yeah, By the Grace of the Gods is getting a sequel anime.
Yes, I am so happy about that. Yeah, I love that.
What direction do you think it's going from this point? Just him getting more super
Monster
OP?
Scroll. Or Summoner School.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's going to the school. Yeah, that's right. That was the cutoff point for that. That'd be cool. Andrew loves his school arcs.
No, you don't. Don't even lie.
Sarcastic. I'm just being positive for people. Funimation has released the first OVA for bottom tier character Tomozaki, which I totally did not know, so now I know. And apparently they are going to be releasing the second OVA for bottom tier character Tomozaki on July 2nd. So for those that enjoy that series like me, definitely go check that out. It'll be exciting. Hopefully it has some good stuff after that, because I think it left on a really big turning point for the story, and I was, like I said in my review of it, it's like, kind of want that, kind of want a second season because of that, but I don't know if it can cover that all in one, two OVAs, but we'll see. Or they could just be swimsuit episodes.
They do that.
It could be that, too. This is really exciting, and I'm employing the help of our listeners to make sure that I don't forget this, and I keep an eye out for it. But apparently Prototype has announced that Visual Arts and Keys 2001 Air visual novel is going to be ported to the Switch. So another another visual novel to add to my wall of visual novels.
Yep. You got a couple of them up there.
Just a couple. Like what? Like 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
8. And I don't know if I have any in the my other set of stuff. So, yeah. Add it to my collection of, visual novels. That'd be great. Because I got Little Busters and Clannad specifically for Key. Need more. Need all of them. That's cool, though. Exciting. And, of course, Air. I was a TV series that I really loved. It's like the first anime that really made me cry bad. So, see if the visual novel form can pull that off as well. But, yeah, that's exciting. Definitely check that out. Cloverworks has announced that they that the Wonder Egg Priority Special that is airing on the 29th of June will be a one-hour long episode. So that's exciting. I think when they were talking about that, getting a, special episode ending, everybody was like, better be a full hour. So there you go. You get a full hour episode. And definitely be checking that out when that comes. I got my calendar marked. I got alarms set. So when that happens, hopefully Funimation gets it over here quickly. They were really good with it when it was airing, so I'll trust them. There was one delay, but it was because production issues, because again, that happened with the poor series and it had tons of delays on Japan's side, so cool stuff. When are you gonna get caught up on that? It's literally my anime of the year and probably for a long time. It's probably something you're going to have to watch.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those that's on the list.
It's on the list. There you have it. It's a possibility. It could happen. They're correcting my issues with Farewell, My Dear Kramer. The film has been launched on Crunchyroll and their streaming service on the 10th of June. So if you are like me and you decide not to watch the series because technically there was a film before it that's a prequel story, there you go. You can watch it on Crunchyroll now, apparently. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit too late at this point for me to get caught up and get that. But I don't know. We'll see. I might try to spare some time to get all caught up on everything. I haven't really heard people talking about it. That's the only troubling thing. It's like no talk about this series that I've seen anyways. So
you'll watch it and turn around and start raving about it.
That's a good thing, because then I could tell people to go watch it. Like I didn't. good news for Jujutsu Kaisen fans. The Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie is going to be opening in Japan on December 24th. Of course, MAPPA is returning to do that, so hopefully it won't take long for us to get it. It looks like it could be a cool prequel story? Question mark? I don't know. It says Tokyo Prefectural Jujutsu High School. Yeah, prequel story. So, obviously, starring the boy himself, I think. Yuta Okotsu is a nervous high school student who is suffering from a serious problem. His childhood friend Rika has turned into a curse and won't leave him alone. Since Rika is no ordinary curse, his plight is noticed by Satoru Gojo, a teacher at Jujutsu High, a school where fledgling exorcists learn about how to combat curses. Gojo convinces Yuta to enroll, but can he learn enough in time to confront the curse that haunts him? So I guess technically it covers Gojo. there you go. Cool stuff, though. I'm sure they'll do a fantastic job on that, as a series is pretty awesome as well. Are you going to get caught up on that one?
Probably not.
Maybe if they announce the second season?
That's not high on the list.
It's like the next biggest shoujo. Not shoujo. Shonen. It's a shoujo, Chris. It's a pretty dang pretty boys, isn't it? Gojo's really sexy.
It is on the list, mostly because of the fact that it's a shonen. It's not as high on the list because I've still got Returners that you were raving about that you were wanting me to go and watch. So that's kind of higher on the list as far as things that are current that I'm planning on watching.
Did you ever finish Demon Slayer? As I'm looking at a banner.
Yeah.
Okay. I forget. I know that I went like crazy about it. So I think you may have watched it right after I did.
No, I watched it with you.
Did you?
Yeah. We were here.
I thought I maybe I jumped forward because I heard there might have been spoilers in a certain episode. I don't remember what I don't remember what happened. Anyways, for fans of VTubers, Hollow Live Idols Aqua, Subaru, and Nene are going to be singing the ED for Jahi Will Not Be Defeated. So,
did you watch the movie?
No.
That's the only thing that I haven't seen.
I missed getting it on the PlayStation when they announced it. I like woke up and then noticed everybody talking about that it was like pre-released on the PSN accidentally. And I went to go see if it was on there, and it was, sure enough, it was taken down. I'm like, darn it. I almost was able to watch it. I have to wait until all the theater releases happen.
Yeah, that's the only thing I haven't watched of it.
But yeah.
VTubers. Sorry.
They're just doing the ED for Jahi Will Not Be Defeated.
Uh-huh.
So, fun stuff. I'm not sure of their singing skills. I don't know them that well, but Super's really funny, so we'll see. see here. Game company NOA announced they will be releasing DMM Games ReZero, The Forbidden Book, and The Mysterious Spirit as a browser game in July. And this story will be an original story that Tapae Nakatsuki, of course, who is the writer of ReZero, will be supervising. So, yay, browser games. Exciting. I don't know. I think I still need to get the other game, the Switch game, just so I can check out that story. But it's cool that he's getting more little stories, side stories out there. Hopefully they're as good as the original stories.
Mushibugyo?
Yeah, Sentai Filmworks has announced that they have licensed the three OVA episodes of Mushibugyo. I thought Chris would be excited for that. I know he enjoyed the original show.
That is such a random show to come out of nowhere. I would love to see OVA. I'd almost have to go back and watch it because it's hard to remember what happened in that show.
They smashed bugs?
Yes, that is something they did. I think it's more the other way. The bugs smashed the people. So. But yeah, that's an interesting one to just randomly... Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be streaming it on select digital outlets as well as doing a home video release. So people can finish their collection of Mushibugyo. Exciting stuff. Let's see here. I'm losing my spot. Yeah, Yoshikazu Yasuhiko, who of course I know him as being the guy who wrote the Gundam The Origin manga. He also did the original character designs for the original Gundam as well as the follow-up series of that series. He is apparently saying that this movie that he's working on is pretty much steadily going towards completion, and that he thinks that the movie will be announced soon. So that's exciting for me. Like I said, I think that the Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin series was fantastic. And it was a really fantastic take on the prequel stories of Char and everything. So, pretty excited for anything that can kind of come out of his brain going forward. So, we'll see what that movie ends up being. Unfortunately, again, it's not been announced yet. He's announcing that it's going to get announced.
Mm-hmm.
We always like the announcing. But, cool stuff. It's cool to see that he's still kicking and knocking out stuff. GKIZ has announced that they are licensing Mamoru Hosoda's Bell film for North America, so be excited for that. I think they've maybe selling tickets for it already, so if you are a theater goer, definitely check that out. We're not, because they don't come here, so we won't be checking that out. But at least now you know. All of our listeners know. Uncle from Another World gets an anime adaptation, or a TV anime adaptation. This one's 17 years ago. Takafumi's uncle fell into a coma, but now he's back like a man risen from the grave. Soon, Takafumi discovers two bizarre things. His uncle treasures video games above all else, and while comatose, he was actually transported to another world as some heroic guardian. Now, not only does Takafumi have to room with an uncle who is literally magical, he also has to catch the guy up on two decades of history. Smartphones, high-speed internet, modern anime tropes, and the dramatic outcome of the 90s console war. It's not exactly what I thought that the synopsis was going to be based on the cover art of the original one.
That's fantastic. I love that concept. It's a kind of a, I guess it's a reversed isekai. That's fun.
So why does the cover have an elf girl on it? Is the uncle going to be telling like his experiences in this other world?
Probably.
I thought based on the elf girl, I was thinking it was going to be like he gets isekai to another world, and then like he marries into another family, and then he has like a niece that like bugs him all the time or something. But this seems like it's going to be like him telling about
or his maybe he's making her cosplay.
Her?
Yeah.
As a female here? I guess, I guess you could find some random girl. His uncle. So this is two dudes. I guess he could have the nephews cosplay as an elf girl so he can relive that experience.
They've done it.
Interesting. Interesting concept, though. That'd be fun. Fish out of water mixed with some isekai. That's what it seems like. Nice little comedy. Yeah, that sounds cool. Definitely check that one out. Sentai Filmworks has announced licensing for the two OVAs, Eshka Kron and Analog. So I don't know either of those two, but I'm sure they're fantastic. For Eshka Kron, it's Eshka and Kron are as different as night and day, but together they are they eke out a life in a colorless world of Terminal, a post-apocalyptic wasteland in a far-flung future. Their monochromic lifestyles changes, however, when they arrive in the present-day transit, where color and music abound. There they encounter new sights and sounds unlike anything they've seen before, and with each of their new experiences, their home world of Terminal gradually begins to change. Interesting. Interesting, interesting. And the other one is Analog, which is Kids Say the Darnest Things. I really had to open it with that. And Mayako's opinion, her brother says the strangest things of all. An innocent childhood declaration that he'd one day marry her has convinced her brother will grow up to be a total perv, and now she reads the worst into every interaction. Surely, it's a big sister's job to rehabilitate her little brother, right? Only Miyako might not be up to the task because she's the one turning otherwise innocent situations into perverted scenarios. That sounds funny.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of like everything he does is like, oh my gosh, is he doing that? It's not really.
Kind of like the Ao-chan one.
Rebuild of Welcome to the NHK sequel novel is getting an English release by TKMT Books, so it'll be available on Amazon and Gumroad, so for those that are big fans of that, I still need to get caught up on that. I say that every time we talk about this, but yeah, cool stuff. Discotech has announced tons of licenses, or at least new information for their works. Shaman King 2001 will be released on standard definition Blu-ray with all 64 episodes. Lupin the Third, Part 5 on Blu-ray in two parts. Case Closed, The Darkest Nightmare will get a release. Galaxy Cyclone Breaker is going to get a standard definition Blu-ray release with all 39 episodes. Super Dimension Century Orgus is going to be released on Blu-ray and include all 17 episodes remastered in HD. And the Fatal Fury series will be getting HD Blu-ray releases as well. So cool stuff from them. Cool stuff. I still need to check out... I need to go back to check out Shaman King. I'm not sure if I'm going to like the new one. I'm not sure if they're doing a good job with that one or not. I'd hope that they're doing a good job, but who knows. G-Kids has licensed Production IG's The Deer King film. So that's exciting. I don't know if we talked about the synopsis for that one. The novel centers around Van, the head of the group of soldiers who expected to die fighting for their lands against a large empire looking to incorporate their home into its kingdom. Instead of dying, however, Van is taken as a slave and thrown into a salt mine. One night, a pack of strange dogs attack the salt mine, and a mysterious illness breaks out. During the attack, Van takes the opportunity to escape, and he meets a young girl. Elsewhere, rumors is spreading that only immigrants are coming down with this mysterious illness. The medical scientist Hosol risks his life to search for a cure. Doctors also study a father and child who seem to have survived the illness. The novel tells the interconnected stories and bonds for those who fight against this cruel fate. It's depressing.
I remember the salt mine thing, but yeah, it's seems like we talked about it, but
the girl is the cure. It's only because he's with her that he was saved. Matakoi, the Love is Hard for Otaku series, is ending with its 11th compilation volume on October 14th, and it will be bundling in an OAD, which will apparently be based on the company outing story that the manga's 6th volume had. So, cool stuff there. Unfortunate the series is ending, but definitely cool. Need to get back on that one. Officially get on that one. Crunchyroll has begun streaming the double summon version of How Not to Summon Demon Lord Omega, which is a less censored version. Why?
Why not wait? Why wait until halfway through the until the show is completely over?
Yeah, the show is over, and then we'll cannibalize by making people watch it again for a less censored version. Not an uncensored, just less censored version.
It's not fair.
But yeah. Honestly, there wasn't that much nudity to begin with, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless they were just hiding certain shots, I guess that could be why it seemed like there was... It seemed like it was very much so less, etchy in that one.
Yeah, it was the only...
I mean, there was
the
some
only,
really pervy scenes here and there. There was a bath scene with the elf girl. There was the charging scene with Rose or whatever her name was. Yep. And then there was the discovery scene with another character, but that was about really it. Wasn't really much. Just so much adventuring, it kind of doesn't give an opportunity to do that kind of stuff. That was my only real complaint, but we'll get into that when we do a review. Let's see. Funimation has announced it is expanding its Latin America services to Colombia, Chile, and Peru. So exciting stuff for those regions. Good to see more availability for people. So they don't have to go to certain questionable websites and get viruses. sad news, Adult Swim began streaming a teaser for Junji Ito's Uzumaki anime, revealing that it has been delayed to October of 2022. That's a pretty big delay. That kind of tells me they haven't even started at all. Or maybe the studio they were working with decided to do something else. Could be. I don't know if they've established a studio. Production IG, possibly. Yeah, it's a bummer. I'm kind of excited for that. I might just read it though. I just need to read it and just forget about the anime because it's probably. When have they ever done a good job with Junji Ito's work? I guess technically Gyo is okay, Gashunk, but I don't know. Just kind of giving up on it. Following the Netflix release of Record of Ragnarok anime, apparently Viz Media has jumped on the license for the manga, so thankfully for those of us that watched the anime and were tricked by Netflix into getting interested in a story that will probably never get a second season, or at least if it does, it'll be 5 years later, we can at least jump into the manga and continue there. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a really fun series. Definitely check out my review of it. I'll be doing another review of it. When we do our seasonal reviews, I'll do a review of it there too. So Adam's OP. That's all I'll say. Yeah. Fun stuff. Are you planning on checking that one out?
Probably not.
It's a tournament arc. Don't you love tournament arcs?
It's not that I love tournament arcs. It's that it didn't seem interesting to me in any way, shape, or form.
Did you listen to my review of it?
No.
Oh, just check out the trailers. Sadness. Crunchyroll has added Saga of Tanya the Evil Operation Desert Pasta anime short, so definitely check that out on Crunchyroll. And more important news, in wake of this, Saga of Tanya the Evil is getting a second season. It's been greenlit. It's coming back, people.
I can't wait.
We haven't seen the movie either.
This is one that I am highly interested
in. We need the movie, too. We never got the movie.
I didn't know there was a movie, but I tend to forget stuff, so very much possible.
He'll just text me out and over, hey, check this out. I'm like, Chris, we talked about that in discussion 2 weeks ago. Really? Did we? It's okay, Chris. It's okay. I do it too. We're just getting older. We're going to lose our minds. Fans of Chiaferu, apparently the manga has been listed on Amazon that it is heading towards its story's climax. So apparently, after 47 volumes, it's apparently reaching its climax. This has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
Of course, technically, I guess we've gotten, what, 3 seasons out of it? So, makes sense. But yeah, that's exciting.
One on my list of shame. Yes. I really badly need to watch that.
I went out and bought the Blu-ray just so we'd watch it, and then we never did. It's another one of those ones where I buy it thinking it'll make us watch it, and we don't watch it. And then another season comes out, and then we get behind again. Fans of Horimiya, just like us, apparently is getting a special one-shot epilogue chapter in July, so that's always cool to get those epilogue segments of stories.
But cool that one stuff. Deserves one.
Yeah. I don't know how much the anime adapted of that one. So if anybody's a big fan of the manga, definitely let me know. Like, how much of the anime did it cover? I guess I could just Google search where does the manga kick off from the anime. But that was a cute one. That was a cute one.
Adored it.
Chris, exciting news. Let's Make a Mug has already been announced to have a second season in October.
Deserves it.
So there you go. I just started this one the other day. It looked cute, so I'll probably continue it. Doesn't seem too long. It's a 10-minute one, isn't it?
15.
15?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was 10. It felt like a lot shorter.
Yeah, they are definitely short. Because you definitely feel like, I want more out of this every episode.
This girl right here, though, needs to chill the heck out. She was loud. Like, she is, like, hyper-ganky. I'm surprised she didn't bug the fire. You were talking about healing shows, not necessarily Yashike.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying...
She makes this not Yashike.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying is it's... If it wasn't for some of the characters... Because if you remember, I was pointing out it's not chill enough to be an Yashike.
She's, like, the ganky girl from Prisma Ilya levels. She's not, like... The girl from Kill a Kill levels, what was her name? I just literally had her name in my head for a split second. It disappeared. But not that levels of Genki. But she's kind of like Prisma Ilya, Genki girl, Genki. But yeah. I'm still enjoying it, though. They look cute. I'm kind of wondering what they're alluding to by the father saying I won't let her get sick too, and I'm hoping that's not going to make me annoyed, but we'll see. Have they covered that yet? This whole thing of him not wanting her to get sick?
I don't know.
That means I get in trouble for spoilers. So
he spoils things all the time. Hey Andrew, you want to know why she wants him to keep playing the game? No, Chris, it's okay.
I thought that was hilarious, and I wanted to tell you about it so
bad.
Girl
needs a life. That's all I'll say. Girl needs a life. She needs hobbies. Something. Different hobbies, rather. Let's see. Naho.
A life-altering decision based on something so dumb.
It was funny, though. The scene itself was funny, though. Because he said exactly what I wanted to say. You got some cow stuff going on there, girl. Anyways, Love Live Superstar, the voice actress Naho Misaki, of course, she is one of the members of the Superstar Love Live cast of, what was the name in the group? I just seen the name earlier, and I've totally lost it already. But anyways, that group that will be within Love Live Superstar, apparently she has been diagnosed with COVID. And they have already come out and said that they have tested the other girls and nobody else has been affected. So hopefully that she recovers quickly and gets over it quickly. And two, for the sake of the show itself, hopefully they can continue working on that before it airs, literally, in like a couple weeks. So July 11th is when it's... first episode premiere, so hopefully they have enough time and hopefully she recovers quickly, or maybe they pre-record a lot of the stuff. We'll have to see, but yeah, very unfortunate. But we have a ton of Netflix, because Chris loves Netflix. We have a ton of Netflix news. Are you excited?
Are you excited to hear about
things that aren't coming out for several months?
You hear the chair creaking from all the bouncing I'm doing right now?
Yes. I'm going to have to edit out all that, and so nobody hears any of it. You can hear how excited he is. You're never going to hear it, because I'm going to edit it out. Anyways, first off, Sailor Moon Crystal is going to be added to Netflix on July 1st, so along with the three films of the Eternal films they released apparently on June 3rd. I totally missed that. I know that we were supposed to check that out.
That irritates me.
What?
And not that bad, I guess. I really need to get the account on my Roku.
So but to say, it's not a bad thing that Eternal Films released really quickly on streaming services over here versus going to theaters first, and then we have to wait for the Blu-ray release, and then we download we buy the Blu-ray just to watch it.
Well, I was kind of staying away from Netflix for reasons, and the more and more this stuff comes out, the more and more I might have to just let go of it and be done with it.
And the Beastars second season is apparently finally coming out outside of Japan. It's going to be here on July 15th, so I will definitely be checking that out and doing a review of that one. Super excited for that.
I'll probably join you on that one.
Super exciting. Super exciting. We've talked about Clamp apparently working with Netflix on something, apparently, that has been pretty much revealed at this point. Of course, they're collaborating with Clamp, who, of course, Clamp is known for, you know, Cardcaptor Sakura, amongst many other titles. Tsubasa Chronicles is another one that Chris really likes. But, they're going to be producing an original anime series based on Grimm's Fairy Tales. Apparently, Wit Studio will be animating the series, and Michiko Yokote will be the script writer. So,
that'll be interesting.
Exciting stuff. Yep. Looks interesting. Apparently, she's flying and lifting up her skirt. Artsy.
I don't think that's lifting up her skirt. That's just... she's bowing.
Then what's this?
It's a
what's this gap here?
It's a curtsy.
It's a door? It's a door.
Probably a door.
She's opening her skirt for a door.
I don't know about all that, but she's definitely doing a curtsy of some sort.
Come on, I'm trying to make it more funny than it is. Netflix has also outlined their work for Super Crooks, which, of course, is based on a comic by Mark Miller. And I'm going to butcher this name, and I apologize beforehand. Leonel Francis Yu. I think I just butchered the first part. I think I got the rest of it covered. Studio Bones will be working on it and animating it. And apparently, Carol on Tuesday's director, Mitonobu Hirohori, will be working on the project. So, cool stuff there. So if you're a fan of I guess, comics, superhero kind of stuff, I guess that might be interesting. Might be a anti-hero kind of show, possibly. One last heist. I hate these stupid freaking openings. Heist something thing. Gels are filled, blah, 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 blah. This is a really stupid synopsis. I'm not reading it. You guys can check it out yourself. I hate how it's worded. I hate when they're worded with question marks and stuff. Anyways, Super Crooks, coming out, hopefully, eventually. They will be exclusively streaming Gundam Hathaway film on July 1st, so I've already marked my calendar for that one as well. I'm excited for that. That's another one of those ones where, thankfully, we don't have to wait for it to go to theaters, and then a year later, get it on Blu-ray. Eden Zero is going to be streaming outside of Japan on August 26th. The new Shaman King anime will be releasing on August 9th. So exciting. As always, these were aired in this season, and we'll have to wait several months to come to us through Netflix. Thank you, Netflix. Please stop. Netflix will be streaming a new anime film titled Make My Day. And this one is an original story by manga creator Yasuo Otagaki, who, of course, did Mobile Suit Gundam. I want to say Metal Gear Solid. I put MSG, so I immediately thought, anyways, Mobile Suit Gundam, Thunderbolt Rider, as well as wrote Moonlight Mile. And this one says, on a cold planet of ice and snow, mysterious creatures suddenly have appeared from the dark underground and have begun to attack the inhabitants. Can humanity survive the lurking terror on the horizon? Not much to work with, but there you go. Interesting. Aliens and stuff. They also announced a new space horror anime titled Exception. This one is based on a new story by Hirotaka Adachi. The character designs will be done by Final Fantasy's Yoshitaka Amano, which definitely seems to be the case with the artwork of the cover they put, which I apparently did not save, so I can't show Chris. But, yeah, and they also said, in the distant future, human beings have been forced to leave Earth and migrate to another galaxy. An advanced team of spacecrafts arrive at a planet that is to be terraformed. Each member of the team is output by a biological 3D printer.
So, mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry. If anybody dies, they don't actually die. yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah, very Final Fantasy, you think?
if you say so.
You don't know this artwork?
Mm-mm.
You know, like you remember like the original Final Fantasies, like whenever they made artwork for stuff and like the monsters and stuff, they're all like this kind of look style to it.
Okay.
Chris is forgetting Amano's work. I mean, let me bring up Amano. You'd recognize it if you've seen the style. It's definitely something I'm familiar with. Yeah, it's like his usual style.
Yeah, I was thinking of stuff like that. Yeah, I can see some of that.
Like his artwork for like characters never like advanced into the games, but like it did a lot with the pixel art.
Yeah, I automatically
for the monsters.
Thought of Kefka and stuff like that.
Yeah, like the monsters and stuff always seem to manage to go into the actual pixel art of the enemies in the games in the old days, but nothing else really ever kind of transferred over. Anyways, let's see here. Final news from Netflix. We're almost done, Chris. You can stop suffering. Netflix released a trailer announcing that they have Yoko Kanno on board for providing music for the live-action Cowboy Bebop. So,
more
reasons for us to care about the Cowboy Bebop live-action that will hopefully not be completely terrible. You've already ruined our expectations with Death Note. You're going to have to do a lot to regain our trust there, Netflix. But we'll see. We'll see. The trailer was kind of cute. They all kind of started. It acted like it was going to open up as a like an interview, but then just turned to them dancing to the song. So there you go. It's done, Chris. We've gotten through it all.
Right. Let Yoko Kanno do anime. Forget about all that other stuff.
Yeah, let him do anime. Netflix probably paid him a crap load to actually do something again. And like this check keeps sliding across the table. And he's like, no, it's all right. I don't want. Oh. Oh, okay. Okay. Sure. I'll help you. Because I love the show, I'll help you out. Don't worry. I'm just making jokes and speculating. I don't know that it actually happened, people. Don't start printing that one. So.
Are you going to do the one last thing?
What's the one last thing?
One last thing from like Switch and E3 and all that stuff.
No. Is there something else that I missed?
I don't know. It looks like you're bringing up one more thing to talk about.
No, this is our what things we missed in our preview of the season coming up segment, where we apologize to everybody because things change. And sure enough, literally the day after we recorded the preview for the summer 2021 anime season, Crunchyroll heard our podcast, went, aha, time to release a trailer for a new show that's coming out in summer. It's kind of a big deal. But yeah, Crunchyroll dropped a trailer for Kaizoku Ojo, or the English title will be Finna Pirate Princess, which will be an original series done by Production IG. And did you not watch? I sent you the trailer in a text because I knew you'd want to watch it because I know you're going to love it. And it looks gorgeous, and I think it's going to be fantastic. Hopefully, it will be fantastic. Andrew loves his original series, and it looks really good. So, hopefully, it'll be solid. It looks like she was this girl from a pirate ship, and then she goes to like some noble family, and then like clashes happen or something. I don't know. I'm just guessing. We'll wait till the series comes out. I kind of want to go on this pretty blind. So, we'll see. But it looks really good.
It does.
Yeah. But yeah, when that popped up, I texted Chris. I'm like, dang it. Sure enough, Crunchyroll would do this. And you're probably going to love this. And it would probably have ended up on your 5 most excited list. And sure enough, yeah, probably ended up on mine too. So we'll see. It looks like a clash of cultures too. like Asian and European.
Yeah, you got
stuff.
Samurais going
muskets
on,
you got and
pirates
stuff, yeah.
and noble families. Yeah, it's all over the place. But yeah, it looks gorgeous. Yeah.
Cool stuff. All right, that's it. That's all the news that seems important to us that should be important to you because it's important to us that it be important to you that it's important to us. So, our community, we have some time. The people have come through. They have sent us more questions. Not enough. So
I was getting ready to say not enough.
Yeah, not enough, but you probably should pick up on that, people. I realize I don't think we ever answered Seismic Wolf's question on the forums. I was scrolling through there to see if there was any new ones, and I ran into this one that was back in March, and I'm like, I don't remember answering this question, so I'm sorry, Seismic Wolf, that we skipped your question, I think. You should have yelled at me. Just send me a message saying, dude, what the heck? You skipped me. But yeah, Seismic Wolf says, just throwing this out there, how do you guys display your memorabilia? Figs in display cases, do you frame or laminate your prints? At some point, and this might be something we've talked about before, but to just get people caught up, at some point, yes, I did get into figures. That happened. It's a dark time in my life, and I got way too many figures in that time. And I realized after getting quite a few, I started trying to figure out ways of course, storing them away from dust and stuff, because obviously dust and humidity and stuff are not good for figures. And they're expensive, so you kind of want to take care of them. So I first started going to Michael's, a hobby place, and we were buying, like, basketball cases and football cases and baseball bat cases to fit the figures inside of. And then after like getting like a whole bunch of those and also the acrylic ones, I don't know if they're what they're made for, but there's like these little acrylic clam type things that I got. Those are terrible because acrylic scratches really, really easy. But I was just finding any way possible to put these things in something. And then at some point, we got too many, and we decided to make a long trip to another state. So it was like a 16-hour drive total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what, acrylic?
I was going to say, the football cases, they do really, really good. Yeah. The Detolfs are moderate. That's one of those things that kind of want it. I wish it was more set it and forget it type thing. And I know that my cases are just covered in dust because I am nowhere near as keeping up on it as Andrew is. And I
steal the crap out of them.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because so the thing with the Detolfs, it was like, okay, everybody that I see has figures has Detolfs. It's like the thing everybody goes to when they have figures. But of course, it doesn't fully protect. And like I said, we had to go all the way out there. We would actually, because it was a long trip when we get there, of course, we were like, okay, we buy them, we put them in the back of the truck. And then we actually would open them and check each one to make sure that they weren't pre-broke, because we literally have another 8-hour trip to come back home. And so if we got home and it was broken, we'd have to make another 16-hour trip just to replace it, because there's no IKEAs near us. And buying them online, you have to pay like $500 in shipping. It's like, it's stupid. So, but yeah, it was just a thing of like, everybody was using them and they look good. But yeah, the problem is where the door is, there is no coverage for, you know, it's not sealed. So what I would have to do is I'd get like, they're like things you would use to frame tiling in a bathroom. It's like this thing that you can slide into something and it has a flap that comes over. And so I just basically cut those and fit them on the door itself. And then on top of that, there's a top and the bottom. So I got like, I got like little kind of weather stripping.
Foam, yeah.
And that didn't work out very well. It didn't last. And so then I just slap on some like masking tape, or I think it's masking tape. Just put that on there just to cover the top and bottom. But it works. They're pretty solid dust sealed, even though like if I want to check something out, I have to take off the sides, take off the tape, reapply the tape. It's a pain in the butt. But it works. But it's cost effective too, because I think those were like $90 each or $100 each.
I don't remember.
Versus the basketball cases and stuff were like $40, $50 each. And you could fit tons more in detail case than those. So it works in the end. So, yeah. So, DDoF cases for figures, basketball, football cases, works. Nindroids, baseball bat cases are really interesting, really good.
Yeah.
Really
good. And like I said, that goes along with like the football cases. They're very well sealed, and you really don't have to worry about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way you know that is when you open it, you get the smell of the vinyl or of the plastic.
Yeah, PVC. Yeah, yeah. As for the second part of your question is the annoying part, the prints. So yes, I have two reproduction cells for Clannad and Angel Beats. And yeah, when I bought those, I went out to Amazon and looked for some frames to put them in. So I got those two framed. Yes, anything that is a print, I like to keep them in some type of frame. I got two really nice clear through Monogatari prints that came from the Nindroid for Shinjogahara. So I got a see-through frame for that because they're see-through. I wanted a see-through frame, and that worked out really well. And this is where it gets annoying. I have other stuff, but they're like put away because I never get around or find the right frame. When I do get around to it, I never find the right frame to put them in because I want to get I have two, maybe three canvas prints that I want to get put in frames, but the process of framing of canvas is really a pain in the butt because you don't want it to press against the glass because it's on a canvas. And so you have to have like a spacing for it. And I do want it sealed so that it doesn't get dirty because cleaning a canvas would probably be very difficult. But yeah, that's where I have a lot of stuff that I want to frame, but I just don't find the time to, or just can't find the right stuff for them. So
it happens.
That's like the worst part of anything. But yeah, most of them, like even the prints that we got from that store over near the IKEA place, when we went to the IKEA place, we actually found an anime store there. Bought a few wall scrolls and then got some kind of advertising prints, and those were great to put up. At some point, I took all the art cards that I would get from Write Stuff, and I started framing those at some point, and that took up a whole bunch of wall space, and I stopped doing that. A lot of the stuff that I get from the Aniplex titles, the art cards from those, the collector's editions art cards from Sendai Filmworks, I'd love to frame all those, but it's just there's too many, and so I'd have to like pick and choose. Got some cool art prints from Sentai Filmworks for Made in Abyss and No Game No Life Zero. Those turned out really good framed. Again, don't really have enough space to really put them all up, but and some of them are kind of technically questionable that I don't really care to put up on the wall because I'd probably get demonetized if it was on my wall and I was doing a YouTube video. But yeah, you can kind of see what I have. And I have a thought here soon to do another collection video. So I'd love to do that again because I haven't done that in like 5 years. So it'd be cool.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So that'd be fun. A lot of my layout has changed since then, obviously. Moved twice and changed different rooms and stuff. So that'd be cool to do that again. So yeah. I don't think there's anything else really to cover. I think that's, I want to laminate all. No, laminate, I guess it doesn't have to be always laminated the same way, but I wonder if a lamination would work for a canvas print. I don't know. Cool stuff, though. I definitely enjoy my collection. Let's see here. Thanks for the question, Seismic. Sorry again for missing it this whole time. See here, some group with a Trigun Reanimated sent us an email, so I figured I'd give them a shout out here. Yes, there's a group that apparently is trying to do a reanimation of the Trigun series, so definitely check that out if you guys are interested in it. They list they're going to be on Vimeo on July 21st. Again, it's going to be the reanimation of the Trigun opening. So whenever that does pop up, I'll let you guys know, I guess. Let's see, Taku12034 writes in and says, "Hi, Chris and Andrew. Thanks for answering my food question last time. My new question is, how difficult do you find it to make content? I have wanted to make anime-related YouTube videos for a while, but lost my motivation after most of them got taken down. Also struggling with a lack of growth. Any advice or tips would be much appreciated. Keep up the great work you do. Yeah, welcome to YouTube. YouTube is very difficult to deal with, and what I pretty much the direction I take YouTube specifically is to use as little of other people's content as possible. The unfortunate thing is that YouTube does not acknowledge fair use. So if you use any, if there's any graphical, visual, audio that is possibly somebody's other work, even if it is used in a fair use way, you will not be able to fight it unless you have a lot of money and a lot of lawyers, because you will get striked no matter what. It's always a one-sided thing. YouTube favors content creators of the original source versus, again, fair use at all. So yeah, when I went to go actually start the YouTube side of things, my choice was to, okay, I know I can't get away with using video or audio, so I'll not use any of that. So I chose, just to have something on the video with me, I chose to do screenshots. And what did we find out? Even screenshots is not recognized as fair use when I'm doing a full review or whatever of the series. Because Promised Neverland, Sony Music of Japan struck my channel for it. Thankfully, the strike is gone now. Yay, I no longer have a strike, because I had to wait 3 freaking months for it. But, yeah, and I've tried to contact the company to see if I can get licensing, and not really licensing, but some kind of permission to use stuff for fair use, which I shouldn't have to use. But it's just it's a really crappy, you have to play by their rules. And YouTube has chosen to avoid all responsibility by putting it on the users. And again, not recognizing fair use at all. So you just got to get a camera, get your face up in front of there, and entertain people yourself. Because people are going to eventually, they're going to come to you for you. And so as long as you create that, you know, persona that you enjoy doing and doing something you enjoy, and do it consistently. That's the whole major thing, is you have to be consistent. You have to keep hitting it. You have to get your word out there. You have to keep a schedule, because if you ever delay or take too long to get another video out or something, it YouTube doesn't put you in the algorithm. YouTube doesn't care about you. You have to get yourself out there. You have to keep hitting people, keep advertising, keep telling people about yourself, and make that persona that people will enjoy, obviously, because you're nothing without your audience. We're nothing without our audience. So it's equally the same there.
Send us a link so that we can either post you on our Twitter feed or get you at least some attention. I mean, it's what was it? Anime BS, Anime Arcade, Seismic Wolf was doing a YouTube for a while. So we're not opposed to, you know, you're our friends. We want to get you as much attention as we have.
Yeah. The difficulty of making the content, it is time consuming. Again, that was the whole reason why I started doing this full time, because I knew if I were to get another job, normal job, I would not be able to launch a YouTube channel. So I literally, what I had to do, and I unfortunately go over it a lot, but to do content creation, especially YouTube and videos, which take substantially more time, you have to dedicate a time. And that's what I do. I literally have dedicated that I'm going to work. Sometimes pretty much right now with the way the anime themselves are scheduled, because I'm doing episode by episode impressions, I'm technically doing 6 times a week or 6 out of 7 days a week working, but I've designated no matter what, I will be dedicating 5 days a week, 8 hours a day plus on creating content. Because again, in order to keep that content coming out and keeping yourself relevant in the algorithms, you have to be consistent with what you're doing. And again, getting ahead of the game. You have to, it's very important to, technically it sucks, but you have to be the first. You have to get it out there quickly, because the way I explain it to, you know, those around me, okay, I need to go do this. I need to go watch the latest episode of Odd Taxi. So I step away from what I'm doing. Like yesterday I was working in the attic and I literally, okay, it's 1:30. I need to get down, get, you know, washed up, watch Odd Taxi and get my impressions recorded and out there, because what happens is on that same day, while I'm getting down from the attic, everybody else is watching the show, and what do they want to do after they stop watching the show? Something crazy happens, they go, crap, I want to hear what somebody else thinks of this, because I want to, you know, I want to seek some conversation about this. And they're immediately going to search for it. And if your video is not there, and you wait, you know, 2 days later and finally post it, the hype and conversation is done. Everybody's done talking about it. And they've gone on to the next thing. And so your relevancy comes down. And a lot of the importance of your video and how it gets shared and how it gets in the algorithm and how it gets suggested is based on how fast it gets hits and how quickly it gets responses from people. So it's very important to get that response out there. And the other last thing I would mention is obviously monetizing. YouTube does not like suggesting your videos unless you're being monetized. So you have to get it to that point of being monetized before it's going to get suggested. So, but yeah, like I said, just dedicating time, keeping consistent, keep your videos. I've built my videos around the concept of being complicated but simple. And so I've had a lot of people, like, they'll comment, like, okay, so I keep it to strictly screenshots because, again, I want to avoid copyright. I'm not massive like some other groups are where they can make videos with visuals in it and them being able to work with the companies to get them allowed. I'm not big enough for that. You have to get, you know, upwards of the hundreds of thousands before YouTube cares to consider your stuff fair use. So I have to keep it simple in that regard. But I'm adding the screenshots and stuff, and then there was like comments of people going, well, your screenshots don't match what you're talking about. And I'm like, well, in order to get these videos out quickly and consistently, I just throw them into a slideshow creator, and then I make a video out of that that I throw into my current video. So it's complicated but simple. It doesn't overwork me, and I'm keeping it simple enough that I can turn around quickly. As I go on and get better with the editing process, I can get more complicated with it. But simple but creative is definitely a key thing. Don't kill yourself trying to put together crazy, complicated stuff. I have a problem, especially with the podcast. I re-listen to the entire podcast to make sure I don't miss coughs and stuff, because I have that desire to keep things as good as possible. But you kind of have to let some things kind of slip in order to not overwork yourself.
Or somebody being weird and doing strange things.
Yeah. It's creaking. It's
creaking. Or I.
Yeah. Stuttering. Stuttering. Or me goofing up names terribly. Or us referencing the wrong thing and then have to delete the entire conversation because we referenced the wrong thing. Or dogs get crazy.
Dogs do get crazy a lot.
Yeah, my dog right now is having some kind of issue with her throat, so she's going crazy right now. We're almost done, girl.
She's like looking over it like, what?
Yeah, whatever. Just let me.
She don't even care.
Let's see. For the podcast itself, I'm not sure if you're talking about podcasts specifically. I don't think you mentioned anything about podcasts, and you're really just strictly focused on YouTube. But the podcast specifically has been, I think it's the most difficult because it's the most accessible, but it's the least beneficial, I guess. Like, we do this because we love it. We build an audience when people have support us through Patreon, which we absolutely do appreciate. But technically, it's not one where we can, you know, throw ads in it. We don't want to really necessarily throw ads into it because how much we hate it. But it is a difficulty in that regard. But equally with that and for YouTube, I forgot to mention, focus on audio first. Audio is the priority. Get your audio as good as you can. If you have a funding for it, focus it the most into audio first. Deal with video later, because video is less important than having a very clear audio, because most people will turn away quicker for bad audio than bad video. So, yeah, if you have any other questions regarding it, I'm not sure if you're seeking specific information, but yeah, don't. I guess the thing when you talk about losing motivation, that's a key sign there, because depending on what you're looking at for this, if you're looking to do it as a hobby, if you lose motivation, then it's probably not meant to be. And I hate to say that, but you have to be into what you're doing. So if you lose motivation, it might be that you're too focused on an audience or clicks and views, which if you focus on that too much, especially early on, you're going to fail. I went into the YouTube section of our podcast in the Otaku Spirit knowing full well I'm going to look at that view screen and see ones and twos. Thankfully, a lot of people supported us in our move to YouTube, and we didn't get that happening, but technically, when I first started doing videos with unboxings and stuff, that's what we were getting. It's one and two views. It's the, you can never, don't look at the view screen. Don't look at it at all. Just put your video out there and let people know, because if you look at that view screen, you're going to get discouraged and it's going to ruin things for you. Focus on making what you are having fun making. Make things that are fun to you and just put it out there and keep putting it out there and keep consistent is the important thing to note.
Something to consider. I mean, we've been doing this for what, not 10 years. I mean, I don't think that we've taken over the anime sphere, but at the same time, I do know that we have a presence. Now, it took probably 3 years to get to that point. I want to say that the first time that we looked at our view count and we were up above a certain amount and we were like, we're actually, I'm not going to say we're
it took
we're
us
there.
Like 5 years before we looked at our stats and then we went, whoa, wait, people actually listen to us.
So yeah, it's one of those things that you can't focus on that. Like what Andrew is saying, you literally do what you're having fun. Do what you want. Okay. This is one
don't
of those things.
Don't be fake. Don't be somebody
don't
else.
Be fake.
Because if you don't enjoy who you are, you're going to get burnout quickly, or you're going to stumble and then people are going to turn on you.
Yeah. At a certain point, you're going to get frustrated with what you're putting out. There's some people who like to do the facade. At a certain point, they'll get tired of that facade. And then when they try to go back and go to being normal, then they realize that they're trapped by the facade. We hear about there's a YouTuber out there that everybody's talking about that it got stuck in a specific game that he's getting tired of playing that game and he feels a frustration.
Twitch, it's Asmongold, by the way. And I've heard him talk before about the fact that he created a different channel because he just wants to chill and not be his character. Because when he's on his main channel, he is his character. He's a character. And when you hear him on his other channels, like, this guy's chill. Like, he's way chill. And he's talked about his performance anxiety, where he feels like he has to be this character. And yes, being stuck in something that he doesn't necessarily want to do anymore.
Yeah, and that's something that is very something to remember a lot. And one of the things that Andrew had pointed out when we had first started was we have tried to make this a podcast about something that we love. It's not about whether or not we hope that everybody listens to us. And like I say, I don't want fans. I want friends. That's an important aspect of this. It's important to remember that this is something that we love. We are not industry leaders. Yes, I talk about the avatar thing. I talk about people coming to us because they are in a line. They align with our viewpoints. They may not necessarily agree, but at least they can go in the same direction as us. And that's the point of some of the things that we talk about is while not everybody agrees, there is a portion of our audience, otherwise they would not have been listening to us in the first place. That's the point, is you need to remember that this is about you, not about your audience. Now, at some point, you may change over to your audience being the main driver. I don't suggest that. But
you're never going to please everybody.
You're never going to please everybody.
That's the problem.
We had that problem for a little while towards the beginning, and then we started shifting.
Yeah, I think you're like an example here recently is the problem that I faced with, especially like YouTube, and you're mentioning YouTube, is the thumbnail issue. Early on, I was making the react face pictures on my thumbnails. I hate it. Like, I hate that clickbait of the, oh, super shocked, and somebody pointed out, I'm like, yeah, I hate it too, but I'm trying to get into the YouTube algorithm, and it's trying to find this balance between what I want to put in my thumbnails without like going over the top, because I think it's, I hate it. I really do hate the clickbait thumbnails. But again, I do acknowledge the idea that I need to have it eye-catchy, at least, for people to see it and click on it. The personality thing is like, yeah, technically, we probably could get a lot more viewers, especially on the YouTube channel, if I get on there and start acting like an idiot and going over the top, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this person did this, and oh my gosh, I'm super shocked.
We could bring back the monkey.
And we'd probably get a lot more viewership that way, and a lot more... Yes, unfortunately, the younger crowd that wants loud and obnoxious and goofy people in front of the screen. But at the same time, that's not me. Do I want to be that crazy bond? And again, alienating who have listened to us for a long time. What is one of the main things we get about our personality from our feedback? Thanks for not being, you know, cringy and, you know, loud or just fake. That's a lot of the feedback we get is thanks for being more mature, I guess, mature about what you're talking about. Stuff that people, our audience technically, I think, are probably more older. I don't think we get many younger audience. If we do, you know, welcome. I don't mean to alienate you or anything, but I think a lot of people that would listen to us are more the older audience, the people that don't really want, you know, crazy over the top, loud and unfortunately fake goofy. We're natural. If you get us laughing and acting stupid, it's because we want to be. Because
we're laughing at ourselves, actually.
Yeah, Chris is making a horse noise or something. But yeah, it just happens. But yeah, just keep true to yourself. Do what you want to do. Have fun with it, and it will naturally happen. The people that want what you want to make will come to you. That's the great thing about the internet. The moment you start focusing on views and focusing on trying to cater to something is when you're going to lose it. Our success, especially with our podcast that has been going for so long, is one, it's been going on for a long time. We've had to build the audience for a long time. It doesn't happen in a quick time. So like I said, my focus on the YouTube channel is I'm not going to care that we don't get crazy revenue really quickly. Yes, technically that revenue will eventually need to come just for me to continue doing it, because that's the whole idea, is actually being able to survive on it. But I'm not expecting it to happen overnight. It's going to take possibly years before it gets to that point. And that's what most YouTubers have had to do. So yeah, keep natural. Do what you want to do. Give it time. Keep consistent. Be yourself. It's really the main key thing. So,
And it sucks, because there's going to... You, in a lot of cases, you almost have to have a viral moment as well.
I don't think so. I don't agree to that. Personally, I don't agree with that, because I think a lot of cases when you do have a viral moment, it gets you a lot of connection, but nobody sticks with you, because what happens?
Right.
They came to you and they subbed to you because of that viral moment. The moment they see your next video, you're not the same.
And I agree. There's been a lot of the YouTubers that I've seen who actually skyrocket into a certain level if they are true to themselves, like you're saying, and they're consistent. They need that kind of moment that rockets them up into that spot, and then they as long as they stay consistent and they've never changed, they're fine.
Yeah, if their viral is because of something they normally do,
right?
Yeah, I can see that. So, yeah, thanks, Taku12034, for your question. All the best for your success if you do technically decide to keep going with it. But like I said, make it be something you enjoy doing.
Make sure you do this the show for you. Don't do it for somebody else.
Yep. And technically, our podcast was made on a concept that we couldn't find, which was positivity in the anime sphere. So it was easy to do. It was easy to do because it was something we wanted to do. I guess the last one we can get into. See here, Yari writes in and says, "Hey, how's it going, my favorite duo of anime people? Doing good. My question is, fake serious voice, how could you do a first impressions review of SSSS Dinozinnen without even mentioning the thighs? I believe that what put Gridman on the map for a lot of people was Rika's character design in the show. Similarly, the Atelier Thighs series. Please don't forget this next time we review it. Thanks." Was that good enough? But yes, I do kick myself in the butt for not mentioning the thighs in my Dinozinnen review. I technically did mention that the draw-in was the character designs, and maybe it was me assuming that who's watching it and listening have heard me talk way too much about thighs that I didn't have to. But you do make a good point. I probably should have mentioned it for those that were not familiar with my discussion of the SSS series and their thighs is important. I got a lot of hate for my review for Dinosaur, by the way. I said I liked her character, but just me mentioning that Yume was so much focus and the conclusion of it was not significant to the overall story, I got a lot of downvotes on that sucker, so I guess I made a lot of people mad. I do love her character. I love her character design. I like her personality and her character. And I did like the final moment of her story, but it wasn't significant enough to the overall story with how much emphasis they put on it. So I'm sorry, people.
Yeah, I agree. It's a shame to hear Mr. Thighs not actually talking about the thighs and not doesn't. I'm agreeing with you.
It wasn't
unfortunately
focus on the thighs. That's the problem.
Where I differ is I don't really give a crap about thighs. So
Chris isn't a thigh person.
No, I'm not.
Yari says, also, have you considered creating an otaku spirit version of Studio Ghibli's making of behind the scenes video on how podcast episodes are made?
It wouldn't be as interesting as you think it is.
It's not that interesting. You plug things in, chair gets moved in here, and we hit record. I have thought about doing live streams, editing content. I've seen people do that where they edit their YouTube videos on live stream, and apparently that's a thing people enjoy seeing. But I need to get more equipment for video before I can start doing that stuff. Live streaming with the camera that I have is pretty terrible, and I do put a lot of thought into, or at least a lot of my concern is on quality, even though I just literally told somebody else, don't worry about video. This is, again, my inability to accept
things. We're at a different level than he is right now.
I just have, like I said, going through the editing the video or the audio as much as I do, is I do have my sticking points, I guess, which are my own problem. But yeah, do as I say, not as I do. Yari says, also, my joy at hearing the otaku spirit was back together after the move was immense, after almost like finding out Christmas wasn't canceled forever. Keep up the great work. That hits
me in
the doki-doki.
Weren't that gone that long, were we?
that hits me in the doki-doki. I mean, we had like two comments already saying like I was totally thinking you guys were splitting up or something like that, and I thought you had a gap in 1 week. Again, this is the aspect of I keep going back to the question from Ataki 12034, but this again is the importance of consistency. That I think is huge with anything. I think it was a big thing with the podcasting was like, we made it a point. Every week we will have a podcast episode. And if something bad happens, like suddenly power outage on the day of recording, I'm going to get on my laptop and go to my folder with stuff that needs to be edited and posted already because they're like 3 years old at this point, get something up. Because we how many people will send us a message saying, you know, I listen to your podcast on my drive to work. And what happens when they go there and they open up and they don't find your podcast? They go to somewhere else. And what if they find somebody else that's better than us? We can't have that happen.
Oh my gosh. There's somebody better than us?
There's a lot of people. We can't let them find them. We can't let them find them, Chris. We have to get a podcast posted up now. But yeah. But that's the importance. I mean, when I used to have a long commute to work, I had at one point in my life, I had a 45-minute drive to and from. So about an hour and a half drive commute every day to work. And what was big on my list during that time? Podcasts. I was listening to a ton of podcasts, and they were my sanity keep. Driving all the way up north when I used to have to do a lot of commutes for business up in the north, I had these 10-plus-hour one-way drives that I needed something to keep myself entertained, and not having that there sucks and people will need it. And that helps you create a bond with people when they have to spend 10 hours driving somewhere. You create a personal bond with them. And again, if you're not there, they're going to find somebody else that's better than you.
Yeah. If you stop and think, I listen to, especially at 3x speed, there's god awful amounts of podcasts that I listen to. And it's because I have about 3 hours that I'm cleaning every morning, and I have my noise canceling earphones to block out the dogs barking at me the entire time. And during that time frame, I'm listening.
They're all telling you to stop listening to crap like Andrew on Pocket Spirit.
And that's a lot of podcasts to listen to, and it sucks by the weekend, and everybody's off for the weekend, and it's like, I go to audiobooks, I guess. That's about the only other thing I've got.
Shrug, audiobooks, I guess. I guess I'll actually consume novels.
I've gone through a lot of audiobooks. I recently canceled my subscription with Audible, so that's going to get kind of weird here soon.
Jeff Bezos is going to have a word with you. Is it Jeff Bezos, Amazon?
Well, if he actually calls me, I'll let him know the reason why. But as it stands right now, I seriously doubt he cares about me.
Say, hey man, you want that deal with a podcast on your website? Just let us know. drop us a couple checks there, buddy. Yeah. Do they have a podcast app? Aren't they using Audible for their podcasts?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, they got Spotify, didn't they?
Did they buy Spotify?
I think they bought Spotify.
I know that they've got podcasts on their app now.
I could have swore they bought it. Let's see. Spotify, Amazon. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Probably did, though. They buy everything. Anyways, yeah, like I said, it does, jokes aside, we do appreciate kind words like that to know that people are happy to see that we're back together. We didn't have an argument. We didn't have a falling out. You know, our arguments over violence and anime did not split us up as much as people thought it did. But thanks, Yari, for the question. Again, thanks, Sataku 12034 and Seismic Wolf and the Trigun Reanimate Project for your comments. We only have one more question. Again, it's a call out to people. Get those questions in. Again, you can go to talkspirit.com, go to the link at the top, sign up, talk to some great people, put your question in the Anime Cast question thread. You can send an email to Andrew at talkspirit.com. Tweet it to me at TalkOfSpirited. There's tons of ways to get a hold of us. There's a contact us button at TalkOfSpirit.com. There's a contact button at TalkOfSpirit.com. There's a contact us button. You can post it there. Tons of ways. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this discussional podcast episode talking about the news that seems important to us and dive into some good questions. And as always, we hope you all enjoyed. And as always, oh yeah, by the way, before I forget, even though I forgot until the last second, I just posted my Emma, Victorian Romance video on our YouTube channel. Please go support that. Again, this is similar to the Ama Buddhist situation. This is a company has allowed me to use video footage on my video. And so getting people to go there and give it hits is important for us to grow because it allows other companies to go, okay, they let you use footage there and it worked out for you. So it gives us more opportunities to do stuff like that, even though it literally took way too long to make that video. But it's great because Emma turned out to be a hidden gem for me. I've never really watched it before, and I love it to death. And yeah, it's some really great moments in there in that video. So definitely check that out. And as always, we appreciate you guys supporting us, especially through Patreon, word of mouth, our YouTube channel, all that stuff. We definitely appreciate you guys. And again, we hope you guys enjoyed. And you all take care.
Oh, kitto kienai, kyou wa ienai, moto dori ni wa mou dekinai, ano koro ni kimi o nokoshita mama.
言えない今日は言えない